Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sundays with Sucharita here on Sunday, September 28th, 2014, here in India Standard Time. And I just wanted to, I'm just so excited. This is Navaratri. So we are in the midst of it. We had the first three nights have passed, at least here. It might still be maybe going into the third night in the west, or west of India. And it's a pretty intense time, as some people have mentioned, during Navaratri, right after Mahalaya, and then boom, we go into Navaratri, which is the nine nights where the goddesses will clean up karmas that are really deep-seated, and they're preventing our progress for the next year ahead until they come again. So there are nine nights where you'll feel empowered. You can maybe do an internal check and just see what has happened in the past couple of days in your life, maybe, or maybe internally. Maybe some issues have been coming up. You're frustrated, you're angry, you're upset, you're maybe depressed. Maybe you have a low energy. Maybe you feel like you could, all you can do is just lie on the bed. Maybe you're sick. All those are signs that the goddess is, you know, doing her work to churn out everything that is, you know, deep-seated. So it can be pretty intense if you haven't been able to energetically disconnect from that kind of energy. So what can she do that's positive? Oh, my God. She will do everything. In fact, the goddess, all the goddesses that we're going to talk about tonight and also experience on some level tonight while we're on this call together, they are so active and so alive every night of the goddess. So getting back to what this first goddess can do, Parvati or clean energy, she can help to give you that energy to dissolve away all those negative things that I just listed and more, if you have that going on. But then she can also attract. So not only is there a lot of repair going on or deconstruction going on or releasing going on or processing, quote unquote, going on, it's intense because she wants to also at the same time give you blessings, give you energy, give you positivity, give you beautiful relationships, give you the ability to get up and get going even though you're tired. She will keep you up all night, as Dr. Pillai says. Her energy is so strong because on this spiritual path, we have a tendency, or most of us have a tendency, and maybe it's not quite the way we should be going about our spiritual path, but that's what it is that we want to get a different consciousness. So we call on these divine beings, whether they're masters or gods, goddesses, you know, Jesus, any kind of master that's been on the earth plane or on other planes as well, or spiritual teachers and so on, in different cultures, different religions. And what they will show us is that you want to feel blissful, you want to be happy, you want to have, you know, heaven on earth. But how to do that when it's just looking, go on MSN, and it's just crazy what's going on. The world is just wild. It's gone wild. And, you know, humans are killing each other by the thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions around the world when you add it all up. And it's not just, you know, like a little time, like a time frame in the blip of things. It's really, it's happening all over the place all the time. So thank God technology is here because it's waking us up to, like, this is not right. So it's a big head scratcher. Like, what do we do? So on the spiritual path, we just want to stay balanced. We want to be calm. We want to be focused. We want to be, have peace. And yet the consciousness of the whole world is, it's upside down. It's the opposite. So what to do? Well, being with Dr. Pillai and maybe being on your spiritual path for some time, or maybe just starting for the first time and coming here for the first time, you can just call on the goddess. Because the goddess will give that energy and that nurturing and care and compassion that we need all around the world. But as spiritual We haven't, we're, you can't say we're seekers anymore. We've been seeking, and now we've found that, you know, the teachings that we're here right now, and Dr. Pillai's teachings and his grace and blessings is taking us to new heights, to new levels, so that we can see the higher, from a higher perspective, so we can experience life from a higher perspective in and amongst all the things that are going on, and not be too depressed or like, what's the point of all this, or too discouraged, so, or very upset or triggered. So when all that happens, we lose so much energy. And with the energy goes all your empowerments, all the blessings that are supposed to come to you. They're not coming because we're, you know, on a spin cycle. So what to do? We want to call on the goddess, because the goddess will say, no matter what is going on, I will come and do this for you. So who is the goddess? Well, the goddess is in different cultures and different religions. There's, the goddess is everywhere. You know, Mother Mary, she's a goddess. She's God's mother, so she's a goddess. You know, there's the different gods and goddesses in different religions, different cultures, and the, as Dr. Pillai says, the ones that are really activated are the ones that are being prayed to all the time, and that's the beauty. When you pray to these divine archetypes, to these beings, they come alive right away, because they're like, hello, yay, you're praying to me, so who are you all about? Let me see what you're all about. And where is the goddess? She's from within, because she's energy. She's what makes the, as Dr. Pillai mentioned on the initiation call for the goddess this year, which was just yesterday, if you're able to get on that call, then you'll understand what I'm talking about, and then we'll talk about how you can still get on that, get that download, and get into that blessing that is going on right now during the nine nights. So what happens is the neurons, all the thinking patterns, all the stuck, rational, logical thinking has created so much congestion and confusion in our lives that we don't know if we're coming or going. Everything we've tried in the past isn't giving us different results. So why would it? We're doing the same kind of thing, expecting different results. And you've heard that saying. But really, when we're on the spiritual path, we need to have that energy. We need to have that empowerment. We need to have that grace coming through that just says, don't just space out. Use that consciousness, use that light, and do something in your life. So create. You know, a mother will not let a child be without. She will do whatever she can to give that child what that child needs. And so that's what we're at that point, Dr. Pillai says, you've got to surrender to the goddess. And how you do that is there's external goddesses that we can relate to, and we'll be introduced to them in a meditative state as well, so you can experience it from within. And then you can do your rituals, your pujas, all those other things, or not. But you will have the sounds, the seed sounds, or the mantras, or the bijas, they call it in for seed sound, that will start to grow inside of you. And it will activate that part of your brain that says we need to lay down some new neural pathways. So the goddess energy is what lies in between the neuronal synapses. So when a neuron comes and it meets another neuron to tell it what to do, so that there's new thinking, new thought, new intelligence, light. So what happens when those two neurons meet, those two brain cells, that's what a neuron is called, the brain cell, it synapses, it comes together, and what happens? Spark and energy and pew, you know, it's like, that's how you get enlightened. So the goddess will not only give you the intelligence, that energy, that grace, that positivity, she will make things to happen without you doing too much. So all we are concerned about is lighting up our brain with this goddess energy. And the different parts of the brain will be lit up tonight with the different goddesses that I'm going to introduce, because the first three nights was all about the sound clean that represents Parvati, the ability to erase karma and also to attract a better reality for yourself. Then the second three nights, which were in that second set of of Three Nights for Navaratri is the goddess Lakshmi, and she's all about everything that represents happiness on the earth plane. So how do we get happy when our life is so miserable and upset? Well, of course, you can't even think of that because you're just busy trying to fix it. So you just put that sound in your brain, and then that sound will attract the goddess, and then new opportunities will open. She will internally guide you, because we're tired of doing the rational thing, the logical thing. It's not working. So the goddess is really alive and saying, listen, I'm here. I'm here on the earth plane right now, and I can do this for you. So just get activated. Activate me inside of you. And then as you go through the rest of the year, you will become really familiar with that energy, and that energy will move you, and it will be really intuitive. You'll find yourself being in the right place at the right time, thinking, saying, and doing the right thing. So Lakshmi brings joy in your life, and then it makes you to want to, you know, create more and enjoy more. And then we'll also talk, so the sound for Lakshmi is Shreem Brzee. And then the sound for the third three nights, the last three nights of the goddesses, represented by Saraswati, the goddess of intelligence, wisdom, education, creativity, all those kinds of things, technology, especially with computer technology and gadgets. if you're like me, where you're like, oh my God, how do I use this phone? It's a new phone I have, and I don't even know how to use it. And you just pray to the goddess Saraswati, and all of a sudden you're like the kids these days where they just, pick up a phone and they know how to do it. And they go, here, auntie, here, mom, here, you know, this is how you use it. And you go, wow. Because they're not too far from heaven. So they, you know, the only a few years. So they have that in them already. That intelligence is in them already. And so they show up on the earth plane, and then they have the ability to just pick up something like that and start working at it. And figuring out how it works, and then teaching us how it goes. So, you know, that will bring you in touch with your inner child, if you want to think of it that way as well, going deeper and then cleansing, some congested energies of the past. They're just like, okay, enough. You know, I've done my soul searching, I've had my therapy, I've told everybody about my problems, and I've said it myself, and I'm tired. So the goddess will come in and say, thank you for, you know, surrendering, because now I'm going to help you to have intelligent conversations with yourself and with others, and then you can learn how to create really easy. Finished. So that's Saraswati. The sound is I'm. So there's going to be colors associated with those goddesses, and then we'll have an experience, and we'll open the line, and then I will share with you about the secrets that Dr. Pillai shared in the initiation, and that might inspire some of you, if not all of you, to go and get that initiation call. It is over all the years that I've been with, studying with Dr. Pillai, sharing the teachings, this was the most profound experience of the goddess. So, and for me to experience that, because every year he kind of builds on it and he does some things, and, you know, I feel things and then I think, okay, that's cool, you know, that's great, I see the goddess more, but this one rocks the world and it's about time. So don't, you know, if you're hesitating, oh, you know, can't do it, this is really an ultimate teaching. So we'll have a little taste tester or appetizer, if you want to call it that, or sampling of the meditation, and then let that decide, and that goddess energy inside of you decide what you want to do as far as going for the initiation or not. All right. So let's get into a state of receptivity. That's so exciting, being with you and during Navaratri. For those of you who need to go, thanks so much for joining, and you can listen to the rest of the recording be posted to the blog as it is every week. And then have a fabulous rest of your Navaratri, and we'll see you the following Sunday. Those of you who are going to stay, well, you're welcome to share your experience. or ask a question. Because this is our open discussion time, so I'm having a little bit of challenge myself trying to articulate words, put words together. Let's see if anyone wants to share. I'm just going to open a line. How you do that is press star 6 if you're just joining for the first time. So it is set up for people to just press star 6 when they want to share something or ask a question.
Hello, Sucharita.
Hi.
Hi, this is Ramya.
Ramya, how are you?
Good, good. I just wanted to say a kind of a miracle thing that's happened to me. It actually didn't start with Navaratri. It started with the Ganesha. I did a Ganesha fire lab, the big
okay.
one way back. A couple weeks or something before. And for years and years, for at least 25 years, I've been working on my, trying to lose weight, and I just kept with the same, I never could seem to lose the weight. I mean, I'd gain it, lose it. Well, anyway, I just wanted to say, after the Ganesha Fire Lab, I was able to stay on my own eating plan. Not following Weight Watch, or, I mean, being with other groups that are trying to tell me what to
mm-hmm.
do,
mm-hmm.
my interior thing. And I'm the lowest, I've lost a bunch of weight, and I'm the lowest I've been in 5 years. So I am, like,
okay.
so excited.
Congratulations.
Like I'm getting help from the universe.
That's
I'm sure
fantastic.
That something happened because I could feel it. And then, but then I had another extremely weird thing happen. I'm very excited about this Navaratri because it just feels like it's very important to me for some reason. Or, I mean, probably is for everybody. But anyway, it was extremely weird. On the second day of Navaratri, I had gone down to look at those Apple phones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the number 6. It's
mm-hmm.
yeah. Well, anyway, I ended up getting the phone, signed all the contracts and all the stuff you have to do and everything, getting the phone, and 5 minutes after I got the phone, I was in the mall because that's where the place was. I went. I had to go to the restroom, and I went. And before the phone is much bigger than my regular phone, and it was kind of poking out of my pocket. It fell in the toilet. I mean, it's so stupid. Totally dead. The phone is ruined. I have to pay for the phone. The phone is totally ruined. It will never come back. I had to take it to a place to see if what could happen and everything. And, you know, it's just been, it was such a shock and such an unbelievable thing that happened. I realized that what it was really, I think it was a sign to me because it was telling me that, and I can feel, I'm sort of committed now. It's let me let go of my compulsive buying because I think I do this where I run out and I just can't stand it and I have to do something. But it's kind of like getting burned. And I thought about it because it was
going
like
down the toilet, right?
Yeah, it was the second night of Navaratri. You're trying to let go of your karma.
Uh-huh.
<I know. laughs> Anyway, that's what happened to me. So,
you have a good sense of understanding about it, and you're pretty, you know, it's not like it wasn't shocking, but really that is a huge insight to have. I mean, you can't pay for those kinds of insights. Because
no, I think that I needed something like that to shock me into it, kind of.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
absolutely.
I mean, as awful as it is, I don't want to do it, of course.
It is, but that's a big ticket item, you know.
Yeah,
it's not chump change.
That is big. That's true. That's true.
So do you feel like that's some kind of energy that's left you? You're
yes, I do. I can feel it. Because what I feel like is that it's the same thing. It's an addiction just like my food was. And both of them are getting released. It's like it's a release of it's that whatever that karma is.
Wow.
It's starting to get released. And it really feels marvelous.
Fantastic. Well, God bless you, or Goddess bless you, Ramya.
Right. The Goddess has, I guess.
Oh, well, I can hardly wait to hear what's happening as we go through Navaratri, if you
would like
to share afterwards.
Sure. Anyway, and your meditation was just absolutely marvelous, and I totally love that you got them all three goddesses together. So, it's really nice, thank you.
Oh, good. Did you have trouble following it, or were you totally present there? Could you feel?
No, I was really present. I was really, really there, feeling everything, and I've gotten a lot of. I'm getting all kinds of goddess stuff. I've been getting it for at least a year. Something's going on with me and the goddesses.
Awesome.
You know, I don't know what it is, but I'm so drawn to that. I'm just so drawn to it. And the thing is, you know, I'm hiding it from people because I'm a Roman Catholic. And I know they think I'm like, it's pagan or some weird thing, so I just don't tell anybody.
Well, yeah, one thing, if you don't mind, I could just share with you that one person was sharing, she may share on the call tonight, she has shared in the past that she goes to this beautiful church or cathedral and prays to Mother Mary. And she feels like that goddess energy totally comes through Mother Mary. So when, you know, if you're raised as a Christian or Catholic, you know, you can just say, you know, your experience with the goddess is like Mother Mary, you know.
The trouble with that for me is I couldn't relate to Mary because they've made her too subservient. It's
right.
It's kind of like they put down, she's like an example of the Western culture putting down women. And,
I couldn't relate because of that.
I need power. I need somebody that's got power.
Yeah,
I mean,
but go back to her.
Quiet power, but...
Yeah.
Pardon me?
I invite you to go back to her.
Okay.
Just
okay.
Knowing what you know about the goddess and knowing that they've done it to all. It's across the board.
Right.
You know, we don't need to get into that, but that's what's happening is the goddess is waking up in all religions, all cultures, even when if we were raised in a different way. So just try it out, and that might open a door for a new kind of conversation to come.
Okay.
With your family. Yeah. Let me know how it goes, or let us.
Yeah,
know.
I'll have to tell you. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, thank you very much, and
you're very welcome.
I'm very excited about this Navaratri.
I know. It's gonna be great.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Thanks for sharing.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Yeah, so I don't like to, you know, cut that off, but it's just, you know, the goddess is telling all of us to forget about whatever we've thought about anything because of history or...
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Is this Wayne?
It is.
Hey, Wayne. You want to go ahead?
Yes, if I'm not interrupting your comment.
No, you never are. Go ahead.
A couple of interesting things. One about the Roman Catholics, and it just points to how Kali Yuga has impacted things. I was reading a book. It was the title, I believe, was Biological Codes for the Coming Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And it's written by two doctors, one of them who had a direct contact with Jesus and was being given direction. So they were talking about the sounds that were chanted in the in the Catholic Church hundreds of years ago, using the the do re mi fa sol la ti da, and he discovered that set of sounds had been purposely corrupted later on to prevent people from getting the benefit of them. And the first sound was the one that was changed, and it's not the word do, it's the word oot. And so he started researching this. This was in a not too recent past. He ultimately he had a really hard time finding much about it, but he got in touch with a librarian and that was working at some, I don't know if she's working at a university library or whatever, in Washington State, and she said that she would look into it. So she finally found some information about, she found a link to a professor, or I guess he was actually a monk, a Catholic monk that was working at a university back east, a well-known university. And so she gave him the information to contact this guy, and he contacted him and started talking about it, and he brought up this the change in sounds, and the guy abruptly told him it was none of his business, and he hung up on him.
Oh.
So just kind of an interesting story about how the darkness doesn't want the light to come through.
Right.
So that's just a little story. But then on the dropping of the phone into the toilet, and how that event was interpreted as a significant event in the life, in the person's ongoing path, and their whole seeking. Those bigger events, when people are not awake, I hate to use the term average person because everybody's special in some way, but the people who are not, say, aware that they're on the path yet, maybe that's the best way to put it, they just see life as a random series of events. But people who begin to awaken start to see, they have little aha experiences saying, well, that seems funny. It seems to be, it doesn't seem to be a coincidence. It seems to be that has some significance. And, pretty soon you start to see more events as being, having some kind of, giving you some kind of direction. In the TM movement, they used to call it supportive nature. I'm going to drive over to the store and I'm looking for a parking space, and all of a sudden somebody pulls out right up close to the store, and they would call that supportive nature. But if you take that down to the more microscopic level, that every event, everything that happens throughout your day is all part of that. It's just that we don't see it as that, because we're still not fully awake. So once you start thinking of that, then life becomes more significant in all its ways. And so that's my comment on that. Then you were talking earlier about the chaos that's going in the world, and going back to the TM movement, the Maharishi was he had a master's in physics, which is no small task to achieve. You can get a master's in botany or biology just by discovering a new species, and there's many of them undiscovered in the jungles yet and in the oceans, but to get one in physics is really tough. Because the knowledge has been so deeply explored, you have to come up with something new. In any case, he insisted that that we were living in an age of science, and as a result, he wanted studies done on TM to prove its effectiveness. And there was some 700 studies done, and about 300 of them were published. Now, most people don't understand the word published. What that means is that if you if you go into a university library, you'll see, and you go to the science section, you'll see journals of, you know, various things, Journal of Nephrology, Journal of Crustacea, Journal of all these very narrow categories. There's journals that are out there. And to be published in one, you have to, you know, have done some research, done an experiment of some sort, and it has to then be reviewed by a peer group, a group of scientists that are on the board of that journal, and they have to certify that you did the experiment properly, double-blind studies, and that you didn't introduce bias and that kind of thing, and that it's of value, and then it gets published. So if you say a published study or a study, that is significant. It doesn't just, you know, happen because you decide to write it up and put it on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there was a couple of interesting studies done. One was on the benefits of meditation based on the number of people doing it. And what they found was, and this relates to your you're talking about the chaos in the world, was that if you had a city that had 1% of the population as meditators, and that's, you know, that's not a big number, but it could be in a large city, 1% of the people would cause a reduction in negative events. And they measured those events as being hospital admissions, sickness, violent crime or crime in general, and they found that in those cities compared to control cities, those cities went down about 10 to 12% below a rate of zero, where in other cities it was it continued on its average. And then when they taught the cities, which are the sutras of Patanjali that give superhuman abilities, they found that in groups of people that would go to those cities, because they just didn't have enough people to do that, it was somewhat specialized. The course cost about $3,000 to take, and not everybody did it, but in those areas, the square root of 1% would be enough to reduce all those negative instances. And they did some pretty interesting studies. They sent these groups of people that had taken this course, they called them siddhas. They weren't really truly fully enlightened siddhas, but they called them that because they'd taken it. So they went to several different countries. One was Lebanon, one was South Africa, where they had war going on, and they measured the effect by the drop in body count. And that was quite significant. So like one place, they had a body count of 40 people being killed a day. It dropped down to 10.
Wow.
They did a similar study in the city of Atlanta, where they went in and they told the police department and the social agencies that they were going to do this. And they would go in and they would stay at a hotel in the worst part of the city for 2 weeks. And then they would have, you know, consult with the social agencies and the police and the hospitals to see what the statistics were, and then they would move out and go away for a few weeks, and then they'd come back, and they did that a number of times. And in every case, the presence of them had a substantial positive effect on on society. So the point is, you know, just keep doing your practice, and you're having an unknown effect, but a positive effect on the world. In the 70s, late 70s, I think it was 77, Maharishi said that a nuclear war had been averted because of this.
Wow.
And so you're clearing out karma for yourself and for other people and for the world, and who knows what changes, but every time that you meditate, you have move the path a little bit in a better direction, and you don't know what could have been averted by you watching TV instead of meditating, let's say.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
not meaning to make people feel guilty, but just to make a point. So anyway, that's my comments for the day.
Fantastic. How's Navaratri going?
Actually, I took it last time, but I haven't been doing it this time. I've been using the, been focusing a lot on the, well, in a way I have, because I've been using the Brzee mantra pretty extensively, and I'm noticing that changes, positive changes in my life and my activities are accelerating. And I guess I reviewed, there was an email that came, and it included a YouTube video of Dr. Pillai talking about that mantra and using it, the benefit of it. It's not just for, fulfillment on the material side, but it also provides healing and, in addition to that. So at one point earlier on in one of the calls, somebody said they saw Lakshmi in the naval area, and so I've begun to see that. But I've been seeing Lakshmi for a long, long time before I started with that mantra. Using the Shreem mantra, I had seen her coming to me and actually climbing inside of me and like pulling levers and that kind of stuff. It was an interesting experience, but I have more of that now. And now when I do it, I feel like I'm surrounded with like a green like cloud or whatever, which is healing. Is the green is the color for healing. Mm-hmm. So I guess in that regard, I've been doing the Navaratri. I did it the last few times, but I just can only do so much. So I've been focusing on that, and it's been a beneficial and positive experience. And the more you do it, the more you get that. So, and then the more you get that, the less you're plugged into the, sort of stuck in the looking for the pleasures in the physical world that tie you to being sort of stuck in the cycle of reincarnation. You know, it's the you go to the store and you have some ice cream and you have a very pleasant experience, and that it leaves an impression on the fabric of the soul, which they call CHIT, not to be confused mm-hmm. with another similar sound, mm-hmm. but it leaves a samskara, which is an impression, basically, that and it can be also a negative impression. You know, you go to the dentist and you have pain or whatever, or emotional pain from a relationship. All those things get stuck, and they travel from lifetime to lifetime. It's what keeps you coming back. So what I'm finding is this use of this Brzee mantra is having more of an unplugging effect on me. And which is freeing, because then that doesn't mean, not to misinterpret like has been done in teaching of yoga and spiritual paths in the past, that you have to push yourself away from those things in order to achieve enlightenment. That's a total misinterpretation. The ungluing of yourself to those experiences has to come naturally, and then that's what frees you when it comes naturally, because then you can go and have those experiences without them leaving an impact on your on the fabric of the mind. So you get the best of both worlds. You get the 200%. You are in the spiritual, but you're enjoying the physical without it locking you into a new incarnation in another life that, you know, just keeps you coming over and over and over, the wheel of karma.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm doing that.
Yeah, that's great. And that's your last point about having the material things and also going for enlightenment, that's what the goddess will do. So she will satisfy those deep-seated samskaras or, you know, your attachments to that good feeling, bad feeling, and it's so deeply rooted. She will allow you to be enjoying life and not be attached and make it to stick, so that then you can also at the same time bring more light, more intelligence, more love, more beauty into your life and live on those subtle planes. So she'll give you both material and spiritual enlightenment.
Yes, it's interesting. I had a friend, and actually Dr. Pillai talks about an experience like this too. I had a friend who came into some money, a large amount of money, several millions of dollars, and they had been TM teachers. They were TM teachers, and many of the TM teachers were very poor because the money never really manifested that they thought would be there from the practice. But anyway, they came into all this money, and so I was asking them about this after a few months, and they said, you know, we just got bored buying stuff. So it's like when you can have it, then you really don't want it all that much anymore. So...
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Pillai talks about a past experience when he was, I think, Swami Ramalingam, and this bureaucrat came to him. I can't remember the guy. He was some high-level guy and didn't believe, you know, heard all these stories that the Swami could do. And so he went to see him because he just thought it was a bunch of baloney and he wanted proof. And... the guy said, okay, so can you turn my walking stick into gold? And some of you may have heard this. It was posted.
Mm-hmm.
And so he hands him the walking stick to Swami, and he turns it into gold. And the guy, he's shocked, and he said, that's amazing. You know, I believe your powers now. And he said, how can I do that? And Swami said, well, when you no longer have a desire to do it, then you'll be able to do it.
There you go.
So, and then he hands it back to him, and it turns back into wood.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's all there for us. It's just we got to stop wanting it so much.
Mm-hmm.
At the level of the particle mind, you know, we can have complete fulfillment, but... it's the fulfillment from the deep side, from the spiritual side, from the akasha, from the silence, the bliss of the silence. It way overpowers anything that we see in the physical. And then mm-hmm. you know, then you enjoy the physical without being stuck in it.
Absolutely. Well, that's the path that we're on. And thanks for your enlightening sharing, as
okay.
usual. It's good. It's great. No, it's important because look at us. Maybe we're one of those global groups because we're from around the world. So we're not in any particular city, but maybe combined we could be like 1% of the population, you know, and that's what it takes. Only 1% to shift the consciousness significantly.
Well, that's true. And remember the comment on the cities and the sutras that only taking a square root of 1%. So the more powerful, mm-hmm. the more powerful the technique, the less the percentage needed.
Exactly.
And we don't know. And the more powerful that you as an individual become, then the greater impact you have, and the less. The numbers are needed. At some point, there is a, you know, in science, there's these sort of thresholds. Like for instance,
like a critical mass.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. If you want to magnetize a piece of steel, you don't need to apply the proper forces to align the atoms of the whole mm-hmm. Of the whole bar of steel. You only mm-hmm. need to do 10%. And then, mm-hmm. and then the whole thing shifts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what we're about. We just don't want to have things get too out of whack before we achieve that. But mm-hmm. every day, every moment that you're practicing is it's helping us all.
Absolutely, and just just thinking about the goddess or thinking about God as you're going through it, you know, your day-to-day, one of the things that is so simple to do is just do an internal check. And, you know, when you're walking by a glass, you know, window, you know, store window, and you see yourself, you know, worried and hunched over, or, you know, stiff, you know, you catch yourself, then just note to yourself, why am I not seeing the goddess and God in me? You know, what is disturbing me so much, or spacing me out, or catching my thoughts to make me to be like that? So, you know, even just whatever we're doing, are you doing things stiffly? Are you not being fluid? Are you being rigid? That's just not, that's a sign that you're maybe not conscious of. And then you can, as you become more and more relaxed, then that energy comes in, the divine energy just flows through you. And so on the mental level, you can be chanting a mantra versus all the garbage that's going on in your head. So, you know, if you find yourself in that spin cycle, just put an interrupt in there. In NLP, they call it something like that, where you just, oh my God, you catch yourself and then you kind of just like stick something else in. And Shreembrzee is a good one because it will give you a new direction for your thinking. And it will start to lay down those neural pathways that are more, that open up more parts of your brain that are kind of dormant. And then the intuition comes, and then things become a joy. As you were saying, you know, you were talking about looking at the natural as a support of nature. They also call that omens or signs, you know, where everything that happens, you're listening on a different level, or you're observing life on a different level. And then on that level, that becomes kind of an adventure. It becomes your own little story that's going on. I mean, we all have a story going on anyway, so why not make it last?
Right, right. That's the beginning of awakenings, when people mm-hmm. start to see events in their life as having something other than just you know, luck or mm-hmm. random chance. So, mm-hmm. But you know, the thing that is a little difficult is that we're born into this relative world, and the consciousness, the higher consciousness that we come in here with, is trained out of us. You know, some children are born with the ability to speak the past language of where they were in another life, and high intuition and ability to see entities and things like this. And it's all trained out of us because we are taught that everything has to be decided based on logic instead of the third eye, which is the connection to the universe. The connection to the universe has all knowledge. It has all knowledge. And so when you make a decision based on intuition, which is, you're not really making a decision, it's just coming to you, you have that mm-hmm. instant knowledge of the exact correct thing to do. Logic is always missing some piece. You cannot know logically everything that relates to a particular experience, so you're short, and then you make mistakes, and then that mm-hmm. then you experience things that are either very good or very bad or whatever. But so we're sort of born at the bottom of the well, and we don't know we're there, and we're having to climb out. We're looking up. Some of us start looking up and see that light, and then we're having to climb up the slippery sides of the of the well to try to get out the top. So I catch myself, just like everybody else, doing like you said. You know, I'm walking from the parking lot into my workplace, and there's this big pane of glass windows that I go by, and I see myself, just like you're saying, kind of hunched over, and you know, thinking, as soon as I bring a mantra into it, I can feel that energy, and I straighten up, and it's amazing how it works. It's just exactly like you were saying, but I'm just as guilty as everybody else, and it's just, it's hard to remember that we're trying to get out of this relative world. At least from the spiritual standpoint of it.
Yeah, like we can just enjoy more, you know. So again, it's being really aware, really alert, and the things that happen in our life, as you mentioned, and as Rami mentioned, you know, just start to pay attention, and you'll start to understand that there's something going on. The divine is trying to show us something. And it's going to be of significance. So at first it'll feel like, you know, kind of like a treasure search or something like that. But it is really, that's how Dr. Ply says, think outrageous, have your life be an adventure. My God, when he was saying that and I was totally stressed out, I'm going, oh my God, are you kidding me?
But you know what, that is a great way to put it. Like, it's like a treasure search. Yes, that's a great way to put it. Listen, I'm gonna punch out now because let somebody else talk.
So, oh, okay. Thanks so much, Wayne. It's always a pleasure.
Good
Have an amazing
to you.
Week.
You too.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. So there it is. It's you know, look for the treasure, those moments, those gems. Even when I was speaking with somebody this week, they said, I can't believe Navaratri. It's making me to feel worse than last year. And then as the days have come, it's like they called again and said, oh my God, that was just the beginning. And now all this stuff is coming out and I feel this complete freedom and joy and this ability to move easier. So it may be intense for some of us at different points along the way. But then, as Dr. Pillai mentioned in that call that he did the initiation from Florida, and it was a two-hour initiation, it was a talk, and then this beautiful long meditation that you had a little taste of it, a sampling of it tonight in our call together. But he had said that, you know, the goddess is there, all the goddesses are here every night. So, as Wayne mentioned, you know, I'm just focusing on Sri Mrizi, but that's the goddess that is resonating. That's the goddess that is going to help you the most. But it doesn't mean that the other goddesses are not available, because it's kind of like you have your team, your support team in life. You know, everybody has a doctor, they have a dentist, they have a lawyer if they need that kind of support, they have an accountant, if they, you know, they have a banker. So everybody has that in their, you know, their support. Their community creates that support system nearby, so that if they need that service, then they have it. Just as with the goddesses and the gods on the spiritual path, they're just all hanging out in a different realm, waiting for us to elevate our consciousness, to be able to understand that they're trying to communicate with us. And then they start to really liven our lives up, and we'll start to see things happening in our life, and they will make the corrections. And it'll, as Wayne said, it'll be done on an intuitive level. And you'll start to, again, pay attention to your intuition. Like he said, as a kid, they're doing all these studies. And it is, Dr. Pius said, there's this generation, we're going to start to see in this generation, these kids, and they're already, if you're a parent in this generation or a grandparent, you know, or you know kids, they are just so intelligent and so compassionate, and their brain is programmed in a whole different way, that no matter if we try to fit them into you know, the way it's always been in the, you know, the formal education system, even that's getting blown out of the water. So internet is doing it, and that's the goddess as well. So everything, there was a kid here tonight, his parents brought him, and this kid, he's got a health issue, and it's quite critical and quite severe. But these parents are, I swear to God, they're yogis from so many lifetimes, but they're business people, and in this lifetime, and they have this kid, and this kid was sitting in through the whole meditation, and this meditation is a two-hour class, and he was just sitting, and since his parents have been coming, and he had Karpasami reading, his father brought him to Karpasami, he had a healing, then he also has met Dr. Pillai somehow. They got to come, and Dr. Pillai had just done a random event here in Delhi before he headed back to the U.S. before Navaratri. So these kids are going to pull these masters to them, and they're going to be raised in a way that they are, their parents are going to say, you know, you develop that spiritual skill, develop that spiritual muscle, develop that brain, that spiritual brain. And then it's not something to space out on. It's to activate the entire brain. And then with that active intelligence or intuition, they will be able to heal themselves. Because healing can be done by a doctor or modality or, you know, Karpasami, remedies, these spirits. It can be done through that, but the person, the recipient, has to be so sure, so pure, so positive in order for it to work. It's not a one-way thing. So you have to have your participation in it. Belief comes after, right? It always comes after. So it doesn't really matter what your belief system is. When the spirit moves through you, the energy is moving through you, that intelligence is going to bring the exact thing that you need. And it will only take a second if you're preparing yourself. So if you wake up every day and you say, I'm prepared. I'm prepared for the goddess to come in, the god, right, in this particular week, 9 days together in this program. You know, the goddess is going to be really active. And hey, it might be all three of them. It might be Mother Mary. It might be saints. It might be, you know, yogis, yoginis. It might be, you know, Buddhist monks. Depending on what your past life is. Because that, again, is like what Wayne touched on. It's a samskara. It's a memory inside that wants to get activated so it can be released. So it can be kind of played out and then release. Because, hey, you don't want to go and be to a monastery and be a monk. You know, you're a family person and business person or whatever. Or maybe you do want to be a monk and you want to go back to that. And that's a whole other thing going on. So just, and that would be an adventure for some. So don't think that, oh my God, I'm doing this or that and it's right or wrong. Yeah, that's not what we're here for. We're here, as Wayne has said, and that we can come together as a global community, raise our own consciousness, and collectively do something that could contribute to an awakening worldwide. Wouldn't that be cool? I don't know how you'd write it up in a study, but who really cares by then? If everybody's awake, it won't matter, right? We'll just be like, hey, this is great. Everybody has food, everybody has shelter, everybody has medicine. Yeah? Who's there?
Hi, my name is Sylvia.
Sylvia, how are you?
Hi, this is my first time, being live on your program. And,
great, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from near Philadelphia in Pennsylvania, USA.
Awesome. Welcome.
Well, thank you. And I just wanted to say that I was guided to put aside all of my activities to purposely be here. I was told that I'm to represent all the newbies who might be listening in and who are probably in the position that I'm just coming out of, which is overwhelm. Because
okay.
it's like there's just so much good stuff, and you get redirected this way and that way and the other way, and then you're trying to pull it all together, and at the same time you're feeling this angst for you know, wanting to be a part of something that's so good, but there you are all by yourself. And so this leads me to just have you look for an email that I sent about 3 days ago where I talk about how much I enjoy listening to your wonderful replays and how this is really the only opportunity that I have to share in what would be a live community, because right now I'm just me, you know, with mm-hmm. all this, you know, jumping bean energy wanting to share with people, and then looking around and saying, oh, wow, they wouldn't understand, or, oh, wow, they can't handle that, whatever. But I've been so open, especially in the last several days, to expanding myself through Dr. Pillai's studies, or I should say teachings, you know, following his work on YouTube and catching up on whatever I can. And every day is full of synchronicities. I start out my day looking at my wonderful app on my telephone, the 5 Pencheng, where it gives me the information for the day. Mm-hmm. And that's where I start my studies. So whoever it is that I'm supposed to propitiate, that's where I start. And mm-hmm. it just goes on and on and on in sort of like concentric circles. And that's very exciting as well. So I'm getting over the fact that I've had such angst in wanting to be involved in all the activities and taking, you know, the live teachings and going on all the travels. And, of course, that kind of thing takes time and money. And right now I have plenty of time, and the wherewithal I'm sure will come eventually. So when this Navaratri thing started happening and I was thinking, oh, man, if I could get down to Florida, oh, maybe I could drive down. Maybe I could sleep in my car. Where would the money come from? You know, all this stuff just going through my brain until finally I realized, hey, none of this is going to come together. I have to make my own Navaratri in my own house within myself. And once I did that, what wound up happening is that people started looking at me differently. I mean, someone said to me, you know, all I did was take a shower, wash my hair. And they looked at me, and I was already in my red outfit to greet the goddess. And someone said, wow, you look amazing. And I said, oh, yeah, it's just the goddess coming out in me, you know, and I flipped my hair, and that sort of thing. And then I realized it was true. And so I have some health issues, and one of the things that it's like I just never know how much energy I'm going to have or if I'm going to get knocked out and go to sleep for hours or what's going to happen. And so it turns out the very first night, that's exactly what happened. The goddess put me to sleep, and I woke up hours later, and then I just started the chanting. And then the second day, I was guided to give myself one of these mud things in my hair and give myself glorious hair. And then now we're into Lakshmi. And then I took my shower for Lakshmi. And then she says, no, you've got to do more. And there I was doing one of these foot soaks for like a half an hour. You know?
Beautiful. Just,
but it was just like, oh, that's right. I'm the goddess too, and I'm supposed to be doing all these wonderful spa-like things. You know, it's like I don't have to pay all these hundreds and thousands of dollars. I can do this for myself. So it was very empowering. And then what was kind of cute was that the second night, I was very aware of Goddess Durga because I got chills all over my body and I was able to see, you know, I enlarged the pictures that came in the email from Dr. Pillai, and I used them on my computer to kind of focus to when I was doing my mantras, and I could see that her eyes were very liquid and shiny. And so then last night when honoring Goddess Lakshmi, her whole face, like, it was sort of like, I don't know if you've ever had to have glasses, but you go to this doctor and they say, well, which looks better? And they turn these pieces of glass and things sort of like refocus. It was as though something happened, but only to her face. And her face became three-dimensional on my computer.
Mm.
It was the coolest thing. And I was just like, my face was like frozen in a smile by the end of the 2 hours. I was just so enthralled by this, you know, sparkly thing going on. So that's my Navaratri experience so far. And I'm just feeling all kinds of high and happy and all of that. And thank you.
Oh, wow.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
You're very welcome, and thank you for coming on and sharing as a representative of newbies. Awesome.
Yes. So I'll give someone else a chance. So blessings to you, and love and light.
Thank you so much. It's so great, Sylvia, because, you know, this is what it's all about. This is why we create community, so that we can inspire one another and we can share these things that we're not able to maybe have a conversation in the coffee shop about, or at the dinner table, or, you know, at our workstations or workplaces, and, you know, without people looking at us as if we have five heads or something. So, or even having to explain. So even though Sylvia was speaking about all the things that were going on, I hope that everyone, whether you're new or you've been around for a while and you've been using these sounds and you've been trying to get the goddess energy into you, you know, you can see that the goddess will tell you to start to dress up, take care of yourself, do some spa-like things, and it doesn't mean that you have to spend a lot of money. It just means pay attention to yourself. You know, and if you have to go lay down, go lay down.
Hello?
The goddess will wake you up. Yes, who's this?
Hi, it's Wayne again.
Go ahead.
Well, for Sylvia, I'd just say, hey, you go, girl.
Exactly.
But on the other side of the coin, because, you know, many of us come on and talk about these kind of flashy or, you know, out-of-the-world experiences, I'd like to say that there are people who don't have experiences, and not to be discouraged by that. I knew several meditators that were friends of mine that were in the movement for years and years. They never had anything really happen. They would just do their TM and sit in silence, and, you know, that was it. They just didn't, for some reason, who knows why, but it's not to be discouraged because of that. It doesn't mean that something's not happening. You may have to go through years of that. It's just refining the system. As the system becomes more refined, then, you know, you start to get glimpses of these kinds of things. But it's just part of the growth cycle. You know, I know for myself that I've been on this path for, you know, a number of lifetimes, but some people may be just starting, which is, you know, it's just as good as having been there for a long time, and may even be more beneficial to the rest of us. So not to be discouraged if you're not, you know, getting the flash, so to speak. So that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought that up too, Wayne, because as Dr. Pillai said, we're at a time now where the energy is supporting. So, yes, it may be true that many of us have not had experiences, or many of us have had experiences and then they kind of disappeared for a long time, and then we, you know, got discouraged, but we just kept going on the path. But now, you can just see it's happening, and then what will happen is the goddess, or, you know, because we're focusing on that right now, that energy will, or that intuition or that intelligence will then guide you to be around people. And then when you create this consciousness, you can't be anything but that. So it's so important that meditators don't think, oh, I have to separate myself from society. Shed the light. Shine the light. Be joy. Be all that. And if you can't do it, as Dr. Pillai has said many years ago, when we were all scrambling and going through our own processes, quote-unquote, and it was kind of nasty, you know, to go through all that. But he said you just have to fake it. At first, you fake it till you make it. And just that imagination that you put towards, or all the picture cues, photo cues, cue cards, you know, whatever you use to, you know, tell that part of you to reveal itself, then that's what you got to do. It's kind of a, you know, it is a fake it till you make it stage. I know I went through it, and I was like, are you kidding me? I'm not smiling. And then I would make myself to smile.
Yes, and there's another aspect, too, and that's going back to the story of the staff that was turned into gold, and he said, the fellow asked, how can I do this? And Swami said, well, when you no longer have that desire. So when you are doing your practice or meditating, if you have the slightest expectation of something that you're looking to happen, that will block it. You have to think of it as a process, not something that you're going to sit down and expect an experience. It's just a process, and the process is refining your system when it becomes to the point where the system starts to pick up on the finer aspects, the higher level of discrimination in life. You'll start to have those, but if you are looking for that experience, it's not going to come. It has to be innocent, totally innocent. That means not expecting anything. And you can tell if you're doing practice incorrectly because the sign of that is boredom. Mm. Boredom is an indication that you are expecting something. And that means that your practice is not correct. When you drop that expectation, the boredom will go away, and then you'll be in the correct practice. So I know a lot. I knew a TM teacher who was in the movement for many years, and she thought boredom was just, you know, part of the normal process. But she just was, you know, there was thousands of teachers that were trained, and initially they were very discriminative, and then later the thing kind of got a little loose, and they were just anybody that wanted. But you know, so some incorrect knowledge got imparted, and that's how the knowledge gets lost. And so, no, boredom is clearly a sign. It's an important piece. If you're experiencing that, then you know that something is not quite right.
Absolutely. Well, that's great advice, and as always, Wayne, thanks.
Okay, I'll sign off.
Okay. That's great. Is there anyone else who has a question or wants to share? Please, I know that I was going to mention about the Navaratri the package that's being offered on Palai Center that has the 9 webcasts of the 9 goddesses and their sounds, and then the meditation and audios. It's all available in that package. And then there's also the initiation call, which took place. And we had a sampling of that meditation today. But Dr. Palai taking us through the meditation was, again, as I mentioned, it was so profound. It was just out of the ballpark. So speaking of boredom or plateauing or just absolute overwhelm or confusion or whatever you're going through, this will blow it apart, and it will take you on an adventure with the goddesses that only you will understand. And on so many levels, not just a meditation experience. It is really active. So, again, it is the time, whether we're at that golden age that we've crossed the difficult energy, in that there's enough people on the planet doing some sort of spiritual practice, that as we're going and we're committing, we're recommitting, and we're evolving, we get to take bigger leaps in our mastery of our spiritual path and connecting with these higher beings who then bring us the intelligence that we need to experience. So all that is going to be experienced when you listen to this initiation of Dr. Palai taking you through the goddesses, and he gives 4 goddesses out for Goddess. We did three tonight, and we did partial, experience of those goddesses. But here, Dr. Pillai just takes it to the ultimate level. At this point in time, I can just safely say that it is totally profoundly moving and will shift you in unbelievable ways that I haven't been able to experience before. So I encourage all of you to do it. If that's your calling, go ahead and do it. If you can afford to do it, that's fine. If you can't afford, don't worry, because I think this will be offered, at least until through Navaratri. So you never know if you're practicing the goddess techniques and the money isn't there right at this point in time. It could come. The goddess could come and say, listen, I want you to be able to do your spiritual path, and this is what it is, and here you go. So leave, everything you've known about whatever you've done up until this point, and as Wayne said, get into that place of innocence, meaning a beginner's mind. We just heard a beginner, Sylvia. Oh my God, she was rocking the world, She's so excited and can get into that energy. And that inspires me, a longtime student, and on the path, and I love it. It's like the goddess tucking through, and we should all be feeling that and feeling inspired and feeling like, oh my God, I'm part of something. I'm not really sure what it is, but hey, this is great. And it's going to help me in my life. So blessings to everybody. If you haven't experienced the goddess and you want to take it to the next level, get that initiation call. The package, and then it has the initiation call. It's super amazing. So maybe people who have had the initiation, or they were on that call, or get the package, want to share about that. You can. If not, then I think that's what I've... we've come to the end, pretty much. We've been going for a couple of hours. So this would be the last call. I'm just taking a look at the calendar. Pretty much Navaratri is going to be it. So we're in Lakshmi, goddess energy, which is for abundance, wealth, health, happiness, everything that represents happiness, joy on the earth plane is Lakshmi. And then... the Saraswati is the final. And somebody just had listened to the call, and she Skyped me, and she said it was totally awesome. So I guess she's a little bit shy to share, definitely it is awesome. So get the goddess into you and see where that takes you in your journey in life and on the spiritual path and the material path. Thanks, everybody, for participating and sharing your experiences so that it is inspiring for others. And we will see you next week. Goddess bless you. And thanks to Dr. Pillai again for giving us this opportunity to come together as a community. He's calling all of us. Get together, get on this phone, connect the dots on the globe, and raise the consciousness. End of story. And you'll be taken care of too, and you'll have a good time. But it's so great that we can be a part of something bigger than ourselves and enjoy it while we're doing it as well to improve our own lives. All right, everyone. Goddess bless. Take care. Bye-bye.